Brandon.
Preparing lunch.
Preparing lunch. And even Karen's mum, she's sitting there, she's thinking, okay, I'm sure someone's going to do something for lunch. So we've got to, the boys and I must get going pretty quickly. I've got some KFC vouchers at home, so...
Just one point message.
Don't tell me how to preach. We're in the book of Luke. We want you to know that we're going to start preaching out of the book of Luke on Sundays. I was trying to come up with a theme, but when I mentioned themes at the staff meeting, little Miss Shelley girl gives me an interesting look. So we finished the reclaim, and I thought about what about redefine, and she almost shot me with her eyes. So I thought, okay, let's do a book. We'll do a book. Come on, the book. She likes the book. Her father does that. So we're in the book of Luke, and we're not going to really, whoever preaches next, however that works out, because Mike will do next week, but I won't go so much into Luke as an introduction, because I really just want to talk about Mother's Day today. So I want to dedicate this sermon to Mother's Day and the mothers. And, you know, one thing we all have in common, as you'd all agree, we all have a mother. You know, when people were dying in war, they'd say, well, that's someone's, you know, that person has a mother, and, you know, a cousin. You know, we have that connection. We all have mothers. Mothers are inspiring. They really are. I mean, at the end of the day, it's no wonder that they should be lifted up. And, you know, when you go to a wedding, if you go to a wedding and you hear the bride or the groom particularly talk about, when they talk, let me tell you now, the one that gets elevated the most is the mother. Seriously. I mean, the dad gets kind of left, you know, oh yeah, and there's my dad sort of thing as a lift off. But generally, it's the mum's the inspiration. And not to put dads down a little bit here, but let me tell you now, when I think about growing up, yeah, there was my dad, but let me tell you now, I gave my mum some heartache. And she put up with it. You know, my dad, his response was, you know. But my mum was the, you know, admittedly I could get away with too much, and I admit that. But nonetheless, my mum was there as this nurturer, you know, always loving. You couldn't do anything, you know, no matter what you do, there's that unconditional love. Yeah. And if you even just compare our own world, I mean, Mother's Day versus Father's Day, let's face it. Come on, what's lifted up the most? What's the bigger deal? You know, us dads try and fight for it. You know, hey, what about Father's Day? You know, but Father's Day can come and go and we give dad whatever, you know. Find something to wash his car with. But it's not the same as Mother's Day. It's just not. And there's a reason for that. Because mothers have to put up with the most. Mothers bear the most. They bear us. You know, I love when people say, you know, we're having a child. Oh, rubbish. You gotta love that, right? You know, the guy comes up and says, oh, I want to announce we're having a child. Yeah, right, buddy. Now, let's not get into this too far. Let me tell you now. No. My wife is having our child. You know, that's probably a more accurate way to say it. Not we're having a child. And women know that, right? The guy stands there like, oh, man, I've got to put up with all this, you know. Oh, such a burden to carry. Today, I want to talk about probably the most famous mother of all. Probably the most famous mother of all, and that's Mary. You know, as soon as I said it, so the title of my sermon today is, and it may sound a little bit religious, but Mother Mary. You know the song? Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Anyway, I started singing. I told Gail on whatever day it was. I went to Gail. I said, Gail, I'm going to be speaking about Mother Mary. You know, so I started singing a song to her. And she said, you know, that's about taking drugs. I went, what? I mean, I knew that those Beatles were on something at some point. You know what I mean?
They are.
Anyway. But I didn't know that, and I was kind of, anyway, but it's Mother Mary we're going to talk about today. You know, much is said about Mother Mary. In some religions, she's worshipped. Wrongly so, by the way. Prayed to. Wrongly so, by the way. You know, and I'm not here to get into that. But I do think that she's a woman on Mother's Day that we can look at and learn a lot from. So turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And as I said, you know, we are going to start the book of Luke, but we'll just start with Mary. It says, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, is that 26th?
Yes.
You might be thinking to yourself, don't you have your glasses on? Anyway, don't worry about that. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be, Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's just stop there. A couple of points this morning quickly. First point is, I am the Lord's servant. You know, what stands out to me about Mary, as we're going to learn, is this statement here. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." It's amazing to me that, you know, this angel visits her out of nowhere, Gabriel, and says, "Hey, listen, you know, I want you to know that you are highly favored." "Yeah, okay. And by the way, you're going to give birth to a son even though you're a virgin. How can this be?" "Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you." Now, at that point, a lot of things could go through your mind. At that point, you could think, "Really? How does this work? What, are you serious?" But I love the point that at the end, what does she simply do? She just simply accepts it. And she says, "I am the Lord's servant." I think there's a lot to learn from that statement in itself. The way she just simply accepts it. I mean, if you parallel that, and we're going to parallel this right now, if you parallel that to Zechariah, who was Zechariah? Well, Zechariah was a priest. So John the Baptist, when his birth is foretold, let's look at this for a second. It says in verse 8 of Luke chapter 1, it says, "Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple." Then in verse 11 it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." So at this point, the angel comes to him and says, "Listen, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered." Meaning what? What was Zechariah obviously praying for?
A child,
right? That Elizabeth was obviously old. We don't know how old, but old enough that, well, whatever, she was barren. And he says, "Listen, you're going to have a son." And let's look at the difference here. Verse 14. "He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Now, that's interesting because if we really believe that, what's the point of what? Praying in the first place, right? So the angel says, hey, listen, you're going to give birth to a son. You've been praying about this. Your prayer has been heard. And then when he's confronted with it, he says, well, hang on, how can this possibly be? Isn't it amazing, I think, at times we get this way? You know, we pray for things in our lives, and when it happens, we're like, what? You know, shock, horror. God, grant me this, you know? It was like, and it happens, like, why? What? How did this happen? And we're kind of dumbstruck as to how it could possibly take place. And already, you know, the thing I think that's inspiring for me about Mary is the fact she accepted what the angel was telling her. Hey, I am the Lord's servant. I accept what you say. You know, what are you like at accepting God's word in your life? And I know we talk about this a lot, but seriously, do you accept it? Do you accept it? Do you accept that you're favored in God's sight? We're all favored in God's sight. Do you believe that about yourself? I'm always amazed at times at our lack of self-esteem and how we lack so much confidence. And, you know, we're worried and we get stressed out about things. And I understand that. Totally. But how many of us really just say, hey, you know, God's got a plan. I have nothing to worry about. God has a plan for my life. Do we just simply accept that? Let's read on a little bit longer. Then the angel answered, I am Gabriel. And I love this. This gives me goosebumps listening to this. The angel answered, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Woo! 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 I mean, that's goosebumpy stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Man, Zechariah had this honor to stand before an angel come and visit him who stood in the presence of God. Woo! I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And Zechariah at this point must have said, you know what, and I want to say a few more things to you, buddy. But let me tell you now, you're not getting this, are you? And now, verse 20, and now, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. Look at the contrast. And you know, and why, I mean, Mary kind of asked a little bit, right? She had a little bit of a question. But it wasn't that heavy. And then she says, I'm the Lord's servant. You know, why is Gabriel so hard on Zechariah? Why is he so hard on him here? You know, he questioned it. He's not the first person to question. Gee, you know, go back a few hundred years, you got Gideon. Gideon actually is bold enough to say what? Give us a sign. And he does the fleece thing. Okay, give me another one for good measure. You know, and then you got Moses, right? Moses with God, you know, right there. So hang on, I'm not da-da-da-da. You know, there's this big discourse going on. That's with God himself. And here's Zechariah, mute. I think there's a couple of reasons. One, who was he? He's a priest. That's number one. Number two, he's praying about it. He's asking God. And God delivered. You know what I think about this? I tell you what's amazing about this and compared to Mary is here's Zechariah. And because of his unbelief, he can't speak. And I get convicted about this because I think that when a sign of our unbelief or a sign that we're slipping into this kind of Zechariah mode is we find it hard to speak. We find it hard to speak spiritual things. We find it hard to have spiritual conversations. And more importantly, because the text goes on, it says that in verse 21, it says, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he stayed so long in the temple, because Gabriel was talking to him. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but was unable to speak. And this is interesting to me, because I think at times with our unbelief, even when we try and speak, not much comes out. And I tell you, the convicting thing for me about this whole thing is, where is our belief? And a sign for that is, what are we like at preaching the word? What are we like at sharing our faith, even with each other? I think at times the reason why our fellowship can be so superficial and we struggle so hard to say something spiritual, because we've got nothing to say. Because maybe the belief isn't there the way it needs to be. And I think sometimes this can definitely be a sign. He says, you know what, you're not going to speak. You didn't believe. You're not going to be able to say anything anymore. And I wonder about that for our lives. You know, what are we like? I know for me, I can go through to rhetoric, but you know, do I really have something to say? When I'm in a position to share my faith, am I convincing? Am I convincing? You know, when we're talking to each other, to counsel each other, and help each other, inspire each other, how convincing are we? You know, are we really in there, in our hearts, really trying to spur people and stir the hearts again? That comes from a belief. That comes from believing that, you know what, God is with me. I am God's man. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. And that makes all the difference. And when you get like the path of Zechariah and that unbelief starts to creep in, you watch. You don't have much to say. Think about when you first became a Christian. Man, I think the majority of us, we had a lot to say. And sometimes overzealously, and I did with my parents. Sometimes over the top, yes. But we had something to say. We couldn't keep it in. And I think we have to be reminded of these things. We don't need to be like Zechariah in a sense of unbelief. You know, Mary's heart was just simply, hey, I am the Lord's servant. Hey, what does she say? Just to refresh our memories. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left. You know, I love that about Mary. You know, it's a powerful thing when we accept what is said. It's powerful, the fact that she didn't doubt. You know, it's a powerful thing when we decide to make Jesus Lord of our lives and we get baptized. And it was great to see Eliza, and Eliza's here. Maggie get baptized last week. And we have another baptism today. Come on. Naboo standing there, sitting there. Why don't you stand, Naboo? You may have said to yourself, hey, I met that guy last week, but he had longer hair. Yeah, he had his hair cut. But it's a powerful thing. When we say, I am the Lord's servant. What would have happened if Mary would have got into some discourse with Gabriel and tried to push it aside? Oh, come on, I'm pledged to be married. What are you talking about? Like, this is not for me. Da, da, da. She accepted what was said about your life. Do you accept what God wants to do in your life? Do you accept the plan God has before you? Do you still accept the way God wants to use you in your life? Because that's a powerful thing, to turn around and say, I am the Lord's servant. Next point. Next point. We're going to jump to chapter 2 now. Mary has a song. It's kind of funny, we're talking about songs on... midweek with Exodus, how they sing the song, and Mary has her little song. Seems like when people had spiritual experiences in the Bible, they wrote songs, sang songs. So we're going to jump a little bit here just to make the second point. So Jesus is born, and in verse 15 it says, when the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And then Jesus goes to, they go to Jerusalem to worship. And then coming home, Jesus stays at the temple. I think a lot of us know the story. They realize Jesus is not there, so they go back and they find him in the temple. And Jesus says there in 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. My second point is treasures or pleasures. And I love this. It's very difficult not to read this and think for that not to stand out. The fact that it says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. She took note of these things. And you could wonder, what did she take note of? What did she treasure in her heart? But I think more importantly, the whole idea is that what do we treasure in our hearts? And then why is treasuring things so important? Why was it important for her to treasure things? And I think what we can learn from here is why it's important for us to treasure things. Because I think at times things go off the rails. I think it would be highly unusual if Mary did not question at times what is the plan. Okay, when Jesus was 30 years old, when he got to 30 before he started preaching the word, all that time she must have been questioning what's going on, what's this all about. There must have been moments where, she would have been looking for signs, It would have been pretty amazing, right, to have given birth to a child that was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you're rearing this child and you've been told that it's something special. It's got to put you on a little bit of a, did she ever smack him? Did she ever bring out the rod and give him, "Hey, Jesus, whack!" Hey, and if he looked back at her and went, "Don't smack me, don't you know who I am?" it would have been kind of interesting, right? It would have been kind of borderline, almost weird, I don't know. And I think it was important for her to treasure certain things. In Mark chapter 3, verse 20, turn there for a second. Mark 3, and it says in verse 20, it says, "And Jesus entered a house." Mark 3. We're thinking of putting the verses up on the screen. But I think if we put them up on the screen, then no one will bring their Bibles to church. We'll look at the Bibles. Anyway. "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'" That's an interesting verse. However, this is Jesus. He's in this house. He started his ministry, and Mary's thinking, okay, who knows what they thought the way this was going to be, but he's in this house. People are crowding, and it says the disciples weren't even able to eat. His family hear about this. They thought, okay, this is too far. You've taken this too far. This is not the way it's meant to be. And they went to take charge of him because they thought he was out of his mind. I can tell you now, at times, my parents thought I was out of my mind. If they could have tried to take charge of me, they probably would have. And some parents have done that with their children because they've given their lives to God. They think, man, this is too far. This is not the way it should be. Wasn't it interesting that they did that with Jesus? His own family. Now, question, was Mary there? I don't know. Was Mary part of that little group with his brothers and sisters and Joseph? Who was? Did she stay home or did she get involved? We don't know. The text doesn't say. But I know one thing. At times in our lives, it does get confusing. I think in the same way that they were confused about Jesus' mission, at times we get confused about our purpose in our lives. The world messes us up. The religious world says, you're taking this too far. You're too serious. Back off a little bit. You try and talk to your workmates. Whatever. Come on, man. That's not what this is all about. Just relax. Yeah, go to church. Pray to God. That's all you need to do. Don't take this too far. You know, at times things will happen in your life that make you question your faith. Yeah, you'll lose loved ones. Things will happen that will make you struggle. And you know what? You need some treasures. You need some treasures at that point. You need a treasure box, the treasures that you can open up and say, this is why. Now I remember why I am what I am. You know, I want you to pray for me. The last few days I've been struggling a fair bit. I've had a lot of anxiety, and I think it's a culmination of a lot of years of just, I'm the sort of person that says, should have done this, should have done that, I should have done this. Even after sermons, I'll go home and I'll go, oh, I should have said this and I should have done that. I'm a very accusative person. I'm probably a perfectionist in my own little way. Last few days, it's got to a point where it's altered me in terms of my body. I've kind of felt like, no, I didn't get panic attacks as such, but I got close to being very anxious. The other morning, I went to sleep and I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. My mind was just racing and I was very tight in my stomach. And I got up and I prayed. I tried to watch a bit of TV, something to take my mind off it. I woke up Karen at 5 in the morning. I said, Karen, I think I'm in a bad shape right now. So my wife just didn't turn over and said, yeah, we're fine. You'll be fine, honey. She got up. She spoke to me. She said, you know, I know what you've been, I know what you're going through. And it was great. We talked. And I went back to sleep. But it's not over. I still feel it at times. And I'm really having to watch the way I think. I just get very, very accusative in my mind. And I think it's just a build-up of many, many years. And I'm sharing this for a couple of reasons. One, because I really want you to pray for me. Because I believe in the prayer of the saints. You will know, I will never hide from you whatever's going on in my life, I can assure you. And the reason why is because I will need your prayers. I don't want to do this on my own, I can assure you. But the other thing, the reason I want to share this with you, is because it relates to this point. And it relates to the point of this whole idea of treasures. Because I've had to go back and... At times I was driving somewhere the other day. I can't remember where I was driving the other day, but I was welling up with tears, crying as I was driving. Because I had to remember what was really important. And I had to remember what the treasures really were in my life. And I opened up that treasure box. And I remember that when I became a disciple, the feeling I had, the peace I had with God, and I had nothing. And I had to remember it's not about, and I realized a few things about my life, and I don't have time to go into all the little things that I'm learning. But I know that I've held on too tight. And I know through all this, what I have to learn is just surrender back to God, that nothing matters. And unfortunately, the complexities of life, be it mortgages, houses, trying to keep up with everything you're trying to do and the money you need to do it, I don't know about you, but put stresses. And I'm not saying I'm poor, and this is not a push for contribution, don't get me wrong. But it's got to me. And this is not me resigning either, obviously. But it is me saying, I need to treasure. And I've got to open up the treasure box in my life. Amen. And I think when Mary treasured these things and the things that really mattered, it must have helped her to say, I'm going to go back to when the angel told me. I'm going to go back to when I said, hey, I am the Lord's servant. Amen. Do with me as you will. Amen. They're the treasures. I go back, you know, to the times when, I had nothing. I was nothing. I had nothing. It didn't matter. It wasn't about position. I'm not trying to hang on to something. I was nothing. And I was so fired up. I was so excited about being a disciple. That's what I go back to. Because that's all that really matters in our lives. And I think we make this so much more complicated than it needs to be. You know, I remember coming down to Melbourne, Mike Fondo asking me, you know, we got back from our honeymoon and Mike said, he rang me and said, where are you? I said, we just got back into town. I was thinking of kind of staying for a few days. Hey, we need you here. Get in your car and get down here. I went, okay. And Karen and I, we packed the car. We had nothing. We just had our clothes. And I was so fired up because my brother gave me his VCR. And I couldn't believe how excited I was. I went, oh, man, thanks, Tony, this VCR. And it didn't matter. We didn't have a home to go to. We lived with, when she was just a little girl back then, in Rodney Court. We lived with the Fontenots for a while until we found a house for a week or so. We found a house pretty quickly. And it was on. And then we were asked to go back and all that stuff. And that's all fine. And you know what? It didn't matter to me back then. It didn't matter to me. I was the Lord's servant. You know what? I would struggle with that now. I'm telling you, I would struggle. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here. I'm fearful of going anywhere. That's what it gets to when you hold on too tight. And I think some of us are like that. We get so consumed with, oh, I've got my house now. Can't go anywhere. I've got this now. Oh, I can't go anywhere. Oh, the kids are in school. I can't go anywhere. And we're just holding on for dear life in the hope God doesn't come calling. I hope the angel doesn't come to me and say, hey, you're the Lord's servant. I want you to, hang on, give me a sign. I need to make sure before you're going to uproot me, buddy. Before you're going to get me to do anything. We're so fearful. Oh, if I lose my job, oh, no, what's going to happen? You know, it's this. And that's the way I've been. I know that. I see that. Now I've got to work through that and change all that. And obviously, Mary must have got to the point in her life at some point where she just couldn't understand. And I think it was so important for her. And she must have done at some point because she's there at the foot of the cross. And she says, hey, and that's for another sermon, but hey, this is your son, this is your mother. She understood. But I think she got it because she would have treasured certain things in her life. And hopefully our treasure is not our pleasure. And hopefully our treasure is not anything in this world. It's just simply our relationship with God. And I've got to tell you, I treasure my relationship with God. And that's what's going to get me through. You know, I treasure my relationship with my wife. That's going to get me through. I treasure my relationship with my friends, Peter and Gail. People that I can reach out to, Sam, Michelle, people that I'm, and I have no problem. I've told my son, I don't hide anything. I've told my sons, I've told them what's going on in my life. Please pray for me. Because these are my treasures. And this is all that really matters. I didn't do this to sound too somber. Sorry if I've taken you to a somber place. That was not my intention. But I think these are the inspiring things about Mary. But she went through these things. She did treasure certain things, which I think helped her. She just simply accepted that she was the Lord's servant. And we can learn so much from this powerful woman. Let's all stand and sing one song together. Oh, sorry. Please be seated. Please be seated. Sorry. Just 30 seconds. So like we did last week with the baptisms, we're going to show, before Naboo gets baptized, a video. So...
Hello, I'm Naboo. I'm from Japan. I'm studying commerce at Deakin University, and my hobby is to play sports, especially playing soccer. I've been in Australia for 1.5 years. I'm a uni student studying at Deakin University. Just playing soccer, traveling, learning languages. I met Marcus about 2 months ago at Deakin University, and he invited me to join the Bible study group. I was new about what Jesus had done for me. I was still living a sinful life. But since I knew about repentance, I need to change myself to live for Jesus Christ, not for myself. I'm most excited about to be Son of God and to receive the gift of Holy Spirit.
I mean, there's nothing we can say after that, but let's stand and sing anyway. Song 416 before we have a baptism. 416.
And before we sing, we've just a reminder about the Young Christians Lunch in 2 weeks' time, 26th of May.
Four, one, six.